Welcome to the broadcast ministry of His Vision Ministries with Pastor Shane Lawson. God's word is unlike any other word. It is alive. Jesus said, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." John 6:63. These messages are intended to bring life application, hope, and encouragement from the Word of God. The purpose of His Vision's multimedia ministry is to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world through the use of technology and media as an outreach tool. We pray you will be blessed by today's message. Now here is Pastor Shane.
You know, in the 1980s, mountain climbers who fell and who survived gave stories about how their whole life had flashed before them before they landed. And a French psychologist named this phenomenon in English an experience of imminent death. In 1943, a man by the name of G. Tyrell wrote a book called Apparitions, in which he introduced the term out-of-body experience, and referring to the same type of phenomenon. Now, those two terms, by the way, have now been morphed into what we call a near-death experience. And I have known a few people in my lifetime who have said that they have had some type of near-death experience. Now, I can say in my own life, I've come close to dying before. But they say that generally there are certain traits that go along with such a sense of awareness of being dead, or a perception of one's body outside of an outside position, maybe some type of tunnel experience, entering into darkness, or some talk about the movement into a powerful light. There are others out there, again, say that their life flashes before their eyes, and many return to their body against their wishes, or just wake up in their body. I've heard all kinds of things like that. Someone once told me many years ago that they seen flames of hell. That ought to tell you something, shouldn't it? Now, I recently had an out-of-body experience. And I'm being serious. Seriously. I went to Champy's last week for a meeting and asked the waitress what she liked on the menu. And she said, "Well, the best thing on the menu is the buffalo fried chicken salad." And I wanted a salad. So I said, "That sounds great." I said, "If that's what you recommend, that's what I'm going to take." And guess what? My out-of-body experience started about the time I got home, when everything was coming out of my body from eating that salad. You know, even though there's a tremendous amount of interest in these type of experiences, I want to talk about a much more interesting and a much more exciting experience, and that's the experience, by the way, that all believers, notice I said believers, encounter. And it's an experience of being empowered by the Spirit. Now, we're in a series that we are starting today that I've entitled Breaking Free. And we are talking about the Holy Spirit of God and the impact that He has on the lives of both believers and unbelievers inside the church and also outside the church. To help understand what we're dealing with today, I want to ask a hypothetical question for you. I want you to assume that this is someone who is on their deathbed, and in the last minutes of their life, and they die, and they truly receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they realize in their heart that Jesus died for their sins and was raised from the dead, and confess that they are a sinner. They go and they repent. They turn away from all their old ways of life, and they just trust Jesus as their Savior. Here's my first question I want to ask this morning. Did that person die as a part of the church? Now, let me ask a second question. Was that person baptized? Now, surprisingly, the answer to both of those questions is yes and no. And to understand why, I want you to take this morning, if you will, your copy of God's Word and turn over to a book that we're all familiar with if you've been here on Sunday nights, 1 Corinthians Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In our study through the epistles of Paul, we haven't got there. We're going verse by verse, of course, on Sunday nights through 1 Corinthians. And I've not preached out of this book on Sunday mornings in a good while because I knew we were coming to this study on Sunday nights. But the Apostle Paul, by the name of Paul, he is writing here to the church of Corinth and about all kinds of matters that they're dealing with. And one of them was the relationship of the Holy Spirit both to the church and also to the individual believer. And in verses 12 and 13, here's what he writes, if you'll follow along with me as we read this. The Bible says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ," verse 13, "for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God Almighty. Amen?
Amen.
Here's what I want us to take away today as we leave this place of worship. Despite being many individual parts, those of us who believe, I want you to know, we are all one body in Christ through the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Now, you'll notice that word there, body, is used four times in the two verses that we just read. And from verse 12 all the way through verse number 27, I went back and counted. But the word body, which in the Greek means soma, it's used 18 times. And Paul here is not talking about a physical body. He's not talking about that at all. He's talking about a spiritual body. And of Christ, which is another term, by the way, for the church. The church is a spiritual body of Christ. And so, in this passage particularly here, he is talking about being baptized into this body. Now, we're going to answer the question now about the person who died that I started off with a moment ago. Did that person who received Christ on his deathbed die as a member of the church? Again, the answer is yes and no. He was not a member of a church, but he was a member of the church, which is the body of Christ.
Amen.
You see, there are two churches that are spoken about over in the New Testament. There is the visible church, like the one that we are in this morning. This is the visible church. And there is the invisible church that every Christian is a part of. See, you and I, today we are in a church here at Eastview Baptist. But we're not only just a church, there is the church that those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus belong to. It doesn't matter if you go to church here or somewhere else. And so there's a physical church and there's a spiritual church. There's a local church and there's a universal church. Now, you may have already figured out there are two baptisms. There is a water baptism, and praise God, we're going to be having another one of those pretty soon over at the river. But there's a water baptism, and then there's also a dry baptism, which the water and the dry baptism, I want you to think about the dry baptism as the Holy Spirit. And there is a visible baptism and an invisible baptism. In other words, when you get baptized by water, that's visible. When you get baptized by the Spirit, that's a spiritual, invisible baptism. You know, there's a baptism into a local body of believers, like a church like ours. In other words, if you want to unite with our church, and this is in the Baptist world, of course, other denominations do things different, we ask that you be baptized by water before joining the church. And so then there's the baptism into the universal body of believers, which is made up of all believers that are around the world. And so what are we going to learn today exactly is when and how our bodies are placed in His body and how we become a part of the real church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to learn today that there are two baptisms. There is a wet baptism with water, and then there's a dry baptism with the Spirit. And so the water baptism ought to take place after our salvation. In other words, after we give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to have a desire in our hearts to be baptized and to display publicly the profession of faith that we've made. It also displays, I think, publicly to the people that are there. A baptism is one of the ordinances that we partake of, but that you are burying the old ways and being raised to walk in newness of life. And that ought to take place after salvation. The spiritual baptism, though, let me tell you when that takes place. It takes place at the exact moment of salvation. In other words, the moment that you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ is when you experience that spiritual baptism. Now, we put a lot of emphasis on baptism because the New Testament does, but far and away the most important baptism is the spiritual experience, and we are going to talk about today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit does three things, I believe, that we must have happen in the church, not only to be the church, but also we ought to have to even have a church. And so I want you to write these down if you're taking notes this morning. Three things, simple. Number one, the Holy Spirit empowers us together through baptism in the church. Now listen, you can be, again, a member of a church, but not a member of the church. Water baptism might get you into a church, but I want to tell you today, friend, only the Spirit's baptism will get you into the church.
Amen.
Remember, you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit the moment that you believed Jesus Christ. And the moment that you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, He baptized you into the body of Jesus. That is the church. And so we read, look back at verse 13. Notice what it says. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, the first time the baptism of the Holy Spirit took place was at a time called Pentecost. And if you're not familiar with that, you should go back to the book of Acts and read. It's actually the birthday of the church. And Jesus ascends into heaven and sends the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes amongst the believers at that time and then makes them instantly a part of the church. Now, you could call it the birthday of the church. Now, let me make sure that you understand again before I move on what we mean by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because I know this is deep. It's deeper than what we've been learning about on Sunday mornings. Here's a simple definition. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit puts us into the true church of God. The moment that we believe in the Son of God. Now, to put it another way, when you believe on the Son of God, you are baptized by the Spirit of God into the true church of God. Amen. In other words, this is important. You can be a part of a church like this one, Eastview, but not be a part of the true church.
Amen.
You can be a part of a body without being a part of His body. Let me put it to you this way. You can be baptized in water. And we do most of our baptisms at the river, and I think that's awesome. I'll do them any time of the year. Listen, if anybody wants to get baptized, even in the wintertime, if it's snowing, I've done it before. I'll do it here, or I'll do it. I know this is warm. That over there is cool at certain times. I'll do it. But listen, you can be baptized in water truly without knowing Jesus. I mean, you can fake anything. But I want you to know today, my friend, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, it is because you truly know Jesus.
Amen.
Water baptism may put you into a church, but only the Spirit baptism will put you in the church.
Amen.
Now, this never happened in the Old Testament at all. If you go back and study, I've studied the Old Testament. When I was at Liberty University, I studied the Old Testament most of my time there. They put a lot of emphasis. A lot of things point to the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon the people. But He never came inside of people. Realize that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. No one in the Old Testament was baptized into what we would call the church. Why? Because there was no church then. And that is why you'll never find in the New Testament a command to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Listen, we're commanded to be baptized with water, but not the Spirit. And the reason is, listen, you can be physically baptized without being spiritually baptized. And you can be spiritually baptized without ever being physically baptized. Do you know how I know that? Because the thief on the cross, he wasn't baptized physically.
Amen.
But he got baptized that day spiritually, didn't he?
Amen.
Now, we are commanded in the Bible not to be baptized by the Spirit, but to believe in the Son. And why is that? Why are we to believe on the Son of God? Because when the Spirit of God leads you to believe on the Son of God, that is when the baptism that we're talking about this morning happens at the moment of belief. Listen, in 1990, August of 1990, in a gymnasium with about 300 or 400 people coming in to get football equipment, that night, whenever I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ in front of God and everybody that was assembled there, they were not there for a church service. They were there to get uniforms and mouthpieces and mouth guards and everything else, helmets, for their kids to play, for their boys to play football in the Cleveland Midget Football League. It was that night that I gave my life to the Lord Jesus, and guess what? Instantly, I was baptized into the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the baptism we're talking about. It happens at the moment of belief. Now, I want to read this verse again one more time with this key word. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all made to drink into one Spirit. That word all that we see there in God's Word refers to all who have truly believed in Jesus. Now, if you believe in the Son of God, you've been baptized by the Spirit of God. And by the way, you ought to know that in the life you live. Amen? You didn't have to wait for it. You didn't have to long for it. You didn't have to seek it. You didn't have to go out and pray for it. You didn't have to go out and beg for it or agonize over it. The moment that you believe from your heart that the Son of God, in the Son of God, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Listen, it's impossible to receive Jesus without receiving the Spirit. It's impossible to receive the Spirit without receiving Jesus, because the Holy Spirit, guess what it is? It is simply the presence of Jesus living in us.
Amen.
And despite what some people out here teach, and I know there's a lot of things, listen, you don't get Jesus at one time in your life and get the baptism of the Holy Spirit later in life. That's not the way that it works. Because, listen, Jesus is the Holy Spirit living in you and living in me.
Yes.
You know what? When the Holy Spirit, when Jesus comes into you, the Holy Spirit puts you into Jesus. How many in here have ever bought a new car? When you go to buy a new car, there's a lot of different choices, right? There's some cars that come standard, and there's other cars that have all these things that you can get that are optional. And nowadays, they put this little side addendum over here. You think you're going to buy a car. In 2024, a car cost $15,000 10 or 20 years ago. It's $40,000. But then there's this little addendum over here with all these charges on it, right? All these options. That $40,000 car is now $70,000, right? Somebody's making some money somewhere. For example, many cars have sunroof as an option, or a GPS system as an option, or maybe you've got seat warmers as an option in the car. It's optional. Let me say this. The reason I even mention that is because baptism with the Holy Spirit is not optional. It is standard. It comes standard with everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me put it to you another way in case you haven't totally grasped what I'm saying. Every believer has been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Because believing in Jesus and being baptized by the Holy Spirit happens at exactly the same time. They go together. And so you cannot believe in the Son of God without being baptized by the Spirit of God. You cannot be baptized by the Spirit of God without believing in the Son of God. Because the Bible tells us over in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, and I'll paraphrase it, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. I didn't say that. He said that. Now listen, if you're a true follower of Jesus, you may not always be aware of the Spirit's presence, but you would not even be a Christian in the Spirit's absence. If you don't have the Holy Spirit residing in you, I hate to tell you, but you're not a Christian. And I'm not judging anybody in here. The Holy Spirit empowers us together through baptism in the church. And by the way, I'm not going to ever tell somebody if they're saved or lost. I'm not going to say because you come up here and read a creed, Brother David, you're saved all of a sudden. You ought to know within your heart that you know for a fact that Jesus and the Holy Spirit resides in your heart. Amen. I don't never waver my salvation. There's no man that can pluck me from the Father's hand. Amen. Number two, the Holy Spirit empowers us together for unity in the church. Now I want to read verses 12 and 13 together. And I want you to listen for a particular word here if you would. Notice what it says. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are the one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, there's one word you hear repeatedly there in those verses, and that is the word one. If you go back and you count in the Bible, six times he talks about the body of Christ being one. And before the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, it was impossible for a Jewish, a Gentile, a Samaritan believer to come together as one. They had no unity because there was no basis for unity. And so, but when the Holy Spirit came on the very first day, God took people from different backgrounds, from different races, different regions, and He made them one at one and at the same time, a diversity, in other words, a unity. It wasn't just people came together or that they were coerced together. They were connected together by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me say something about that. If you believe in Jesus Christ, and I do, you and I, we're connected. Amen?
Yes.
We are connected, those of us that believe. On that one day, God did something that had never been done before in the history of the world. He took people from different races, different regions, different social classes, genders, and different genders. He made them into one body because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know, Christians are not just friend and just have fellowship. That's not what it's about. Even though we do have those things and praise God for them. But guess what? We are a family.
Yes.
We are the family of God.
Amen.
Now, we've all been made part of the body of Christ, right? And we can make this bold statement with a complete confidence. The only answer to racism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can try education. You can try legislation. You can try intimidation, and that's what they're trying to do. But the only answer to racism is regeneration by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? Christianity is about tearing down walls and building bridges. Not building walls and burning bridges. We're seeing a lot of that today. And that's why you can look at a church like ours, and that's why you will see diversity and you will see variety. And I'm not talking about diversity and somebody wanting to be a frog or a cat. You got to put cat litter in the bathroom at the school and stuff or you get sued. It's not what I'm talking about. But I'll tell you what you will see here is unity. Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Look at us. We have males and we have females. We have Democrats and we have Republicans. We have liberals and we have conservatives. We have blacks, whites, Asians, Indians, Hispanic. We even have the Gators. There's Crimson Tide people that are in here. And guess what? There's people like me. My blood flows orange. I'm a Tennessee Vols fan.
Amen.
And we might not get along on game day, but that's okay. We are not many. We are one. Why is that? We don't come just together in this building. That's not what it's about. We're brought together and bound together in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And it really is true that the one thing that unites us, regardless of political affiliation, regardless of what team we like, regardless of where we live, or whatever it is, I want you to know whatever it may be that divides us, it is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers us together through the baptism of the church, and the Holy Spirit empowers us together for the unity in the church.
Amen.
One last thing. It also empowers us to grow in the church.
Amen.
He goes on to add one thing to verse 13. And I praise the Lord for just giving these points for this message as I was studying this. Notice what it says. He says, "And have been all made to drink into one spirit." That word right there, I wanted to look at that. Made to drink literally means to irrigate. Some people would read that and say, well, does that mean to drink alcohol or to drink Coke? No, that's not what it's talking about. It means to irrigate. And so when you irrigate a piece of ground, what happens? You saturate it with water. And what Paul is saying is not only have all believers been placed into the body of Christ, but that the Holy Spirit has been placed into all believers. And so we've all been irrigated. We've all been saturated with the Holy Spirit of God. And do you understand what that means? Listen, when you receive Jesus, you get all of the Holy Spirit that you're ever going to get.
Amen.
But with that being said, let me say this. The real question is, does the Holy Spirit have all that He ought to have? Because guess what? With our old flesh and our old sin, we can quench the Spirit that is within us. You need to keep in mind the difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what I call the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. Checking that one off, okay? He then baptizes you into the body of Jesus. But once the Holy Spirit comes into you, He comes to stay forever, and He baptizes you into the body of Jesus. Let me say that. You are there to stay forever. And that's why there should always be unity in every church. I don't care what church it is, regardless of its diversity, regardless of its variety, because we are all in Jesus and His Spirit is in all of us.
Amen.
And if Jesus can never be divided from the Holy Spirit, neither should we ever be divided from each other. It is the Holy Spirit that builds us and binds us together, Brother David. Let me show you how this works. Do you realize the Holy Spirit wants to bring you closer to Jesus every day? The Holy Spirit wants to bring me closer to Jesus every day? And so the closer I get to Jesus, the closer that you get to Jesus, the closer we all get to each other. Do you realize that? If you're right on tap with Jesus, then guess what? You're going to be close to Him. In other words, the closer you get to Him, the closer you're going to get to the rest of the members of the body. And I can tell you, being close to Jesus means something. I was driving down Highway 64 the other morning. A car pulled out right in front of me, slammed on its brakes. And I thought, well, I'm just going to pass it. I didn't think anything about it, didn't get mad or anything. So I went to pass it. They wanted to give me the finger. Now let me tell you something. I just turned the cheek and went on and I prayed for that person. They were probably, I don't know why they got mad at me, but... But you know what? I realized, what would Jesus do, right? The Holy Spirit's residing in me. Should I get in? You know, should the flesh want to come out and me say, you know what? I need a new car anyway. Let me just run them on off of 60. No. But don't, let's be honest. If you drive down Paul Huff Parkway, don't you think that sometimes, Brother Carlos? Listen, I'm not nearly as mesmerized or amazed or captivated with out-of-body experiences that I hear about as I am with the in-the-body experience of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you are not a believer in Jesus, in other words, if you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, hear me clearly as I wrap this up. You may have been christened, you may have been confirmed, you may have been catechized. You may have been baptized in a lake or in a pond or a river or even in a baptistry like we've got behind me here. Or you may have your membership on somebody's row, a church row. You may have some official document. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you've not given your life to the Lord Jesus, it don't matter what you've got. Amen. I want you to know right now, you're not a part of God's true church.
Amen.
Only the Holy Spirit of God can make that happen for you. And the way He does is He will lead you to believe in Jesus. The moment that you believe in Jesus, He will baptize you into the true church and you will always belong to Jesus. Again, no man can pluck you from the Father's hand. John 10:29. Listen, if you are a believer, you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At the moment that you believe the Son of God, you are baptized in the Spirit of God, into the church of God, and that's true. You ought to walk like it. You ought to talk like it. You ought to live like it. You ought to worship like it. You ought to obey like it. And you ought to serve like it.
Amen.
I realized that when I passed that person on Highway 64 Tuesday morning. I'm going to close with this. You know, by all accounts, sport. How many sports people do we have in here that like sports? A few of us. Sports experts say that the greatest upset in the history of sports was in 1980 when the United States Olympic hockey team shocked the world and defeated the Soviet Union hockey team. Later, they went on to defeat Finland and won the gold medal. Al Michaels made perhaps the greatest call in sports history when he said, as the clock was winding down, here's what he said. He said, do you believe in miracles? Yes. Why was it considered a miracle? Well, let me tell you why. The Soviet Union had held the gold medal for 20 years. They were by far the most dominant hockey team in all the world. And they had just recently destroyed an all-star team of professional players from the National Hockey League. The Olympic team, by the way, was all amateurs. Most of them were college kids. They were the 12th seed in the tournament. No one in the world believed that they could ever win. Coach Herb Brooks was charged with the task of assembling a group of amateurs and trying to somehow make them a gold medal winning team. Talk about impossible. I mean, guess what? These guys, they came from all different backgrounds. They came from different colleges. They came from different parts of the country. And they had their own unique approach, their own style of play, their own way of doing things. They'd never played together. And so they when the practice started, they were just a bunch of individuals out there with a hockey stick in their hand. In the movie Miracle that was made documenting this team, as they were practicing, Coach Brooks asked his players, "Who do you play for?" One player would say Harvard, another would say Minnesota, one would say, you know, Wisconsin, and so they just went through all these different places. It was at that moment that Coach Brooks knew exactly what he needed to do. After a very disappointing performance in the exhibition game, instead of letting them go to the shower and change, guess what he did? He kept them out on the ice. He told them to start skating and not stop until he told them so. And if you've played football, this would be like running laps, right? If you has anybody ever had to run laps before? I played basketball for many years. It would be like doing what's called suicide runs. Listen, I've done these runs and they're not fun. During the brutal workout, though, after skating at the point of exhaustion, Herb Brooks again asked the question, "Who do you play for?" And one of the players yelled out, "I play for the United States of America." And you know what? That was the turning point. That bunch at that very moment became one. They no longer saw themselves playing at different colleges, and they never seen different places. They saw themselves playing as the United States of America. And that is the first time they became a team. Now, the reason I share that is to say this as I close. My friends, you and I, we are not a bunch of individuals who come together to hang out on Sunday as some tradition, or even sing together, or even come to worship together, because that's what we've always done. We are one body. Amen. We have been baptized by one Spirit into the body of Jesus. And it's because we have all been empowered by the Spirit, experience of the believing, by believing in the Son of God, that we have had this in-body experience of being placed into the church of God. Now that is why every person, that ought to be our desire, and we ought to be thankful for the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because, my friend, I'm here to tell you today, we can break free by being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're able to stand to your feet this morning, as Brother David and the musicians. Today, maybe you have never been empowered by the Holy Spirit because you've never given one iota of a thought of giving your life to the Lord Jesus. Perhaps today you're standing out there, you're sitting out there, and you're thinking to yourself, "Well, I've never felt the Holy Spirit move within my heart. The Holy Spirit does not guide me." Maybe that's you. Maybe you've never given a thought that if you were to take your last breath today, where you're going to spend eternity. Either in a place called heaven, which is a real place, or you'll go to a temporary place, as long as this earth is still around, called hell, but eventually an eternal place of fire. And my heart breaks as I watched a video the other day of a man going through a community asking people if they knew Jesus, and they were just blowing him off one by one. 100 people blew the man off. It reminded me of when I was doing mission work a few years ago in New Orleans. I got one person out of every 100 people to talk to me. I can go to the mall or to Walmart or anywhere in our community right here, and guess what? I can get about 80 out of 100 people to talk to me. But it really, really hurts my heart and my spirit, because the Holy Spirit resides in me to know that there's people that don't trust in the One and they've never been empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Friend, I want you to know today, if you don't know Jesus, Today is the day of salvation.
We thank you for joining us today. Visit us online at isvision.org. Text the word SAVE to the number 80123 and hit send to learn how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. May God bless you.